WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with the massive swell of migrants crossing into the U.S. from Mexico and new efforts to keep them out. The Biden administration has done an about-face with a plan to add up to 20 more miles onto border wall constructed during the Trump administration. New York City Mayor Eric Adams is in Mexico today to let migrants know the city can't handle the influx.
When you see children making the long trek through a jungle and then having to live in conditions of congregate shelters, it just makes it extremely challenging.
He'll make three more stops in Latin America. This morning, lawyers for former President Trump asked a judge to postpone his classified documents trial until after next year's presidential election. They say they haven't received all the records they need to prepare his defense on charges of hoarding sensitive material at Mar-a-Lago. This is day two of a three-day strike by tens of thousands of healthcare workers at Kaiser Permanente. Correspondent Jo Ling Kent has visited the picket lines in Los Angeles.
There are not doctors involved, but we're talking about vocational nurses, x-ray techs, and many other frontline workers. And what they're telling us is they are burned out and they are worried about the quality of care they're able to provide for their patients.
Kaiser says hospitals, emergency departments, and pharmacies are remaining open. Police in Philadelphia say three officers were wounded when they responded to a call from a 12-year-old boy. He reported his father had shot his uncle in an argument over a video game. KYW's Tim Jimenez.
Cops were called, and interim Philadelphia Police Commissioner John Stanford says the suspect positioned himself and waited for police to get there so he could attack.
When officers arrive, he begins to immediately fire upon our officers, striking two officers and one sergeant.
Stanford says the cops were able to fire back and the man was killed.
All three officers are in stable condition. Apple didn't waste time releasing a fix for new iPhone 15s after users reported many were literally too hot to handle. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
People who might be upgrading are thinking about what device they might buy during the holiday shopping season. And of course, the last thing Apple wants is their ever to be an asterisk next to anyone's recommendations.
Simone Biles still flying high. CBS's Errol Barnett says she's led Team USA to a record seventh straight world title.
Victory was hardly guaranteed. The U.S. lost Jocelyn Robertson to a leg injury.
Dow futures down 100. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Chippewa County Sheriff Travis Hicks says a report about alleged misconduct in office is politically motivated. The report released 2 days ago accuses Hicks of inappropriate communication with a coworker, skipping mandatory training and meetings, using his position to sell merchandise and real estate, and failing to come up with a plan to deal with a threat to the Chippewa County Courthouse earlier this year, among other situations. At least one member of the Chippewa County Board of Supervisors is calling for his resignation ahead of next week's board meeting to decide whether Hicks will be removed as sheriff. Last month, the board held a special meeting to go over the report. The investigation into Hicks began in June. The board says Hicks was informed about the investigation multiple times but refused to participate. A Chippewa County woman received 30 days of jail time after being convicted of stealing from her workplace. Jessica Guthman of Holcomb was charged with stealing over $50,000 from the Subway restaurant in Cornell where she worked. She was ordered to pay $46,000 back in restitution and will also have 3 years of probation.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The Allies have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people, no machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Timeout!
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed. Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
I write the book. Elvis Costello, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 8 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. And we've got 56 degrees in Hayward. In La Crosse, it is 54 degrees right now. So just before the break, we were discussing book bans coming to a community near you. Book bans. And I was going over a story from USA Today with a headline that says, "What's behind the national surge in book bans? A low-tech website tied to Moms for Liberty." And I was just getting into the story when we had to take a break, so I'll give you this, I'll give you the beginning over again here. It says, in August of 2022, a local parent sent the Clay County School District in Florida 8 official requests for reconsideration or review of instructional materials, which are commonly known as book ban requests. And in these requests, on each form where the district asked what was objectionable about the material, Adam Gilhausen wrote "see attached paperwork." So he then attached book reviews for each title, including Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale. He said that book is filled with profanity and violence and sexual activities. It's not for minors. Another book, Water for Elephants by Sarah Gruen. That one has sexual activities, profanity, and it's not for minors. Also, The Lovely Bones by Alice Siebold. That one has mild profanity and alternate sexualities, and it as well is not for minors. So about 1,500 miles north in Maine, state of Maine, parents and activists were busy throughout 2022 pressing school districts to ban books. One group called Save Our Schools, SOS, right? Save Our Schools, approached their district with a list of 95 books that they wanted reviewed. At a school board meeting, parents handed out a packet to staff with instructions for how to check their research. It included a rubric rating books from 0 for everyone to 5, which has aberrant content. These so-called challenges appeared to begin locally with no obvious connections, but they shared a common thread. The book review material submitted by local parents was not written by those parents. Instead, it was taken word for word from a website called booklooks.org. The site launched in 2022 to showcase a book rating system that has also been used by right-wing political activist group Moms for Liberty. It bills itself as a resource for parents and claims not to be pushing political action. Quote, "We do not support banning books," the site says. In less than 2 years, BookLooks has become the go-to resource for anyone seeking to ban books, especially books about gay people or sexuality, from school and public libraries, according to researchers, library experts, and a USA Today analysis of book ban attempts nationwide. Across at least a dozen states, USA Today found attempts to remove hundreds of book titles that directly cited BookLooks reviews. Those attempts ranged from individual parents filing challenges to remove a handful of specific books up to statewide legislation requiring that books be rated and recalled from schools. In all those cases, the parents, activists, or lawmakers produced BookLooks text or simply listed links to the website as their rationale. BookLooks is not trying to tell you don't buy this book and buy that book, said Cynthia Walsh, who promotes using the site and is running for a school board seat in Fairfax County, Virginia. It's telling you, quote, "Here's a list of books, go find them," end quote. It's impossible to know how many book ban attempts have been inspired by this website, BookLooks, which adds new reviews weekly, but in one researcher's national database tallying more than 3,000 challenges to library books during the 2022-2023 school year, a USA Today analysis found at least 1,900 were for titles that appear on booklooks.org. According to PEN America, a nonprofit organization that champions freedom of speech, the nation's 11 most challenged books are also all found on BookLooks. And it's not just individual book challenges citing BookLooks. In Virginia, one school district has adopted the site as an official reference tool for vetting its library books. In Texas, a legislator pushed to pass a new law requiring book dealers to rate and recall books by referencing an unsuitable book list sourced mostly from the website BookLooks. Yet, all these examples lightly represent only a sliver of the impact BookLooks has had on the national surge in book banning efforts in the past 2 years. Last school year, saw an unprecedented 3,362 instances of books being banned, restricted, or access limited, up 33% from the previous school year, according to Penn America. Quote, "What this says to me is that people don't trust the expertise of librarians. They say this random website knows better than you do, even though you have schooling and this is your profession," said Emily Knox, an associate professor who studies intellectual freedom and censorship at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. She went on and said, "The real problem is that people try to say, I know what's best for the school system and for the library, and the library should reflect my own values, no matter what the values are of other people in the community." End quote. The national explosion in book bans has come with a specific focus on LGBTQ issues and books detailing racism. That corresponds with a rise in public advocacy from conservative and far-right activists. In recent years, public protests seem to center on a new theme every few months. The COVID pandemic saw demonstrations against masks and vaccines. Then came a flare-up over the teaching of critical race theory in schools. Then, parents, often alongside extremist groups like the Proud Boys, started picketing all-age drag shows, decrying performers and those who support them as groomers and pedophiles. 9:16, almost 9:17. Going to take a break. Stick around. It'll be a short one. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
To trekking through a kaleidoscope of fall color in Wisconsin. To being like, who's up for whitewater rafting? And turning stories into souvenirs. Here's to rich traditions made new again with good company. And seasonal flavors that taste even better when shared with friends. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your fall getaway at travelwisconsin.com.
Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy to mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 64 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at around 10 to 20. There may be an occasional gust up to 25 today. Tonight, 44. Tomorrow, scattered showers, mostly cloudy, breezy, and colder with a high tomorrow right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. Trigonometry. Don't know much about algebra. Don't know what a sliding rule is for. But I do know what it was too. And if this one could be with you, what a wonderful world this would be. Now, I don't claim to be an A student, but I'm trying to be, for maybe by an A student, baby, I can win your love for me. Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
Hey, don't know much about history, biology, geography, don't know much about anything because all the books are being banned. And welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 23 minutes after 9 o'clock right now, and we've got 54 degrees in La Crosse, 52 degrees in Richland Center, Eau Claire has 58 degrees right now. And just before the break, we were discussing book banning. The fact that this is going on all around the nation right now, especially in conservative communities, don't want to be reading books about racial diversity or people that may not be completely 100% straight when it comes to sexuality. Don't want my kids reading that stuff. So this is a story from USA Today that we're going over with a headline that says, "What's behind the national surge in book bans?" It's a low-tech website tied to Moms for Liberty. This group, Moms for Liberty, out there protecting our children from information. I was to the point in this story at USA Today where it says the national explosion in book bans has come with a specific focus on LGBTQ issues and books detailing racism. That corresponds with a rise in public advocacy from conservative and far-right activists. In recent years, public protests seem to center on a new theme every few months, The COVID pandemic saw demonstrations against masks and vaccines. Then came a flare-up over the teaching of critical race theory in schools. Then parents, alongside extremist groups like the Proud Boys, started picketing all-age drag shows, decrying performers and those who support them as groomers and pedophiles. As angry parents squared off against counter-protesters outside drag shows or story hours with bullhorns and signs, another group of activists was busy on a different flank of the culture wars, filing paperwork and showing up at local school board meetings. Have you ever been to a school board meeting? They are getting to be pretty raucous affairs these days. Stoked by conservative pundits and far-right conspiracy theorists, volunteer groups from California to Iowa to Texas to Florida rallied around a new cause, banning books that examine sexual or gender identity or that detail America's troubling relationship with race. Parents or anybody claiming to be troubled by certain books in libraries could show up and make their case at school board meetings, or they could file official complaints like those in Maine and Clay County. But how, out of thousands and thousands of library books, to know which titles to complain about? And how, without reading the books first, to make the case that they were unsuitable for young readers? That's where BookLooks comes in, the website. Launched in March of 2022, BookLooks.org is registered to BookLooks.org LLC, which, according to Florida Business Records, is run by Emily and Jonathan Makish, a couple from West Melbourne, Florida. The No Frills webpage bills itself as a resource for parents seeking more information about the books their children might read. Quote, "We are concerned parents who have been frustrated by the lack of resource material for content-based information regarding books accessible to children and young adults," reads the About section of the website. It is 9:27 right now. Going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. Just in from Ukraine, the president's chief of staff says 48 people have been killed in a Russian attack on a village in northeast Kharkiv that hit a shop and a cafe. He says a six-year-old boy is among the dead, another child among at least six people wounded. President Zelensky is at a summit of European leaders in Spain, trying to rally support from Western allies. Here in the U.S., Lawmakers in Georgia are beginning an investigation into reported problems at the Fulton County Jail. State Senator John Albers.
We can't stand idly by while people are dying and justice is not being adjudicated in a timely manner.
New York Mayor Eric Adams is in Mexico pleading with would-be migrants not to travel north into the U.S.
The message of this not being sustainable cannot stay within the boundaries of New York City.
He'll make stops in three other Latin American countries. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Chippewa County Sheriff Travis Hicks says a report about alleged misconduct in office is politically motivated. The report released 2 days ago accuses Hicks of inappropriate communication with a coworker, skipping mandatory training and meetings, using his position to sell merchandise and real estate, and failing to come up with a plan to deal with a threat to the Chippewa County Courthouse earlier this year, among other situations. At least one member of the Chippewa County Board of Supervisors is calling for his resignation ahead of next week's board meeting to decide whether Hicks will be removed as sheriff. Last month, the board held a special meeting to go over the report. The investigation into Hicks began in June. The board says Hicks was informed about the investigation multiple times but refused to participate. The city of Eau Claire's lawsuit over PFAS in its drinking water has moved to federal court. The filing was originally made in Eau Claire County Circuit Court after PFAS was found in the city's water 2 years ago, which forced some of the city's wells to be shut down. There are no court dates scheduled yet, according to online court records. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cusk.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
are you? Who are you? It is the Who. 9:34. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 56 degrees in Amory right now, also 56 in Hayward. And just before the break, we were discussing this in-depth piece from USA Today about book banning going on around the country. What is behind the national surge in book bans? It's a low-tech website tied to Moms for Liberty, this group called Moms for Liberty, trying to ban books in communities all over the nation. And this group and others trying to ban books evidently get most of their information from this website called booklooks.org. Okay, booklooks.org. So who are you? Who are they? We are concerned parents who have been frustrated by the lack of resource material for content-based information regarding books accessible to children and young adults, according to the About section of the Book Looks website. That's an interesting way to word it, too. She says, or they say, lack of resource material for content-based information. What other kind of information is there? Is there non-content-based information? I'm not sure exactly what that means, but maybe it's because I didn't read enough books. Getting back to this story in USA Today about this group trying to ban books all over the country, Emily Makish told USA Today in an email that she used to be a member of that group, Moms for Liberty, a controversial organization that was recently listed as an extremist group, by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Makish declined USA Today's interview requests, but said in an email that she left Moms for Liberty in March of 2022 to launch this website, Book Looks. The website says it has no affiliation with Moms for Liberty. An examination of its history calls this into question. On March 25th of last year, someone registered the domain name booklooks.org. Then the next day, March 26th of last year, the Brevard County, Florida chapter of Moms for Liberty posted a graphic showing a ratings system for books from 0 to 5. Rockstar volunteers, the post reads, we would like to give a shout out to our amazing book review committee for developing such a detailed and professional system for reviewing and rating books found in our school libraries. Makish, on her Facebook account, even replied in support of the Moms for Liberty post at the time. The same ratings graphic with only slight alterations is now used on the website, on booklooks.org. When asked by USA Today about the Moms for Liberty post, Makish, who runs the Book Looks website, said she used to be part of the group's book review committee, but that she left to create her own website. She said Moms for Liberty had copied her graphic and assigned their own ratings without acknowledging that Makish and her husband created it, and said she had allowed the group to use Book Looks reports, but later stopped interacting with the group. The Brevard County Moms for Liberty group did not reply to a request for comment from USA Today. The first snapshot from booklooks.org on the Wayback Machine Internet Archive is from April 15th of 2022 and shows the website hasn't changed significantly in the 18 months since its launch. But what started as a small collection of book reviews has grown into a 630-plus book database with downloadable reviews that seem tailor-made for filing challenges. So that's where they're getting their information from. There's a little bit more to this piece. It says, Taslin Magnuson, a consultant with PEN America who researches censorship attempts in schools and built the leading national database of book ban attempts, began seeing references last year to BookLooks. Quote, "It's fast becoming the preeminent resource for people making the case to remove books from school libraries," Magnuson said. So how are those reviews constructed at BookLooks? It says here, BookLooks rates each title based on what it calls the appropriateness of its content for children and young adults. The ratings are modeled on those used by the Motion Picture Association of America, Makish said, and are meant to provide, quote, "a quick guide for busy parents to determine if a book has objectionable material, mainly profanity, nudity, or sexual content. A zero rating means the book is appropriate for all ages in the view of BookLooks reviewers. A one reading or a one rating means it could contain mild violence or inexplicit references to sexuality or gender ideologies, examples of which include sentences like, Jake and Bob are gay and married to each other, or John was born a boy but feels like a girl. If the hypothetical Jake and Bob are described as being sexually attracted to each other, or if the book contains a reference to gender-affirming care, then the book is moved up to the next rating level. Books rated at 2 contain content that may not be appropriate for children under 13, according to BookLooks. As of early September, a little more than half of the titles found on BookLooks were rated between 0 and 2. As of September, 24 had the most extreme possible rating, a 5, for their aberrant content. Often, the books include a brief plot summary, but almost 250 books don't include any plot summary at all. Every title on BookLooks includes a numerical rating and a list of objectionable material. There's scant information on BookLooks.org about how exactly each book was assessed. In an email exchange, Makish told USA Today a member of her group reads the book and creates a report with citations. Quote, "The group has a discussion then about how the citations fit within our rating criteria, with the original reader providing context where needed. A consensus is reached on what rating to assign," Makish wrote. The website provides no details about who is making these decisions and what their qualifications are. Makish's name doesn't appear on the website, nor do the names of anybody else involved in the process. Makish wrote that she and her husband never intended for their website to be used to provide ammunition for banning books from libraries. She wrote, "We do not support banning anything from the public sphere. That aside, we do support parents who want to have a say in what is made available to their children while under the custodial care of the school," end quote. Makish also acknowledged that the site has become a resource for campaigns to ban books in schools and public libraries. She wrote, "We aren't going to try to discourage that, nor do we feel we should have to. We support parents using the information we provided, however they see fit, to make the best decisions for their family. But when BookLooks becomes a source in a book ban, it's not merely a family decision. It's a decision to impose that judgment on other families. Parents armed with BookLooks reviews, along with activist school boards, are making decisions on books that affect every student and parent in a school or district. Experts in child literature and censorship say that's a misguided and unhelpful approach. rating books according to one person or a group's subjective moral guidelines is not how professional librarians assess whether books are suitable for libraries, said, said Megan Schlesman of the Cooperative Children's Book Center at the University of Wisconsin-Madison's School of Education. Rather, titles often are assessed by consulting with various review journals and with an analysis based on librarians' knowledge of children's literature and library policies, Schleisman said. We're not approaching it looking for alarms to go off, said Schleisman, a librarian who's worked with the center for 3 decades. We're approaching it asking, what does this book have to offer? Rating books, she said, implies there's something inherently dangerous or disturbing about certain kinds of content. That idea that there is this rating system that can set a standard that applies to every family in a community is completely untrue, completely uninformed. The librarian reads the book and asks, does the information or story succeed in meeting children in the designated age group or demographic where they're at? Books aren't evaluated based on their topic or a list of do's and don'ts, Schleisman said. That's in stark contrast to the book looks approach. There's a little bit more to the story we'll get to after the break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
The most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the 2 oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The 5th and 6th generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Partly cloudy to mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 64 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at around 10 to 20. There may be an occasional gust up to 25 today. Tonight, 44. Tomorrow, scattered showers, mostly cloudy, breezy, and colder with a high tomorrow right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Consequences to what we do. There are consequences for me and you. Yeah, it's Robert Cray talking about the consequences. And we've got 58 degrees in Eau Claire right now, 55 in La Crosse. Stu Daniels here. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We are talking about the consequences of banning books. This is going on all over the nation right now. And is it a slippery slope into authoritarianism and fascism? I mean, we've seen in fascist dictatorships in authoritarian countries that banning books is one of the first things that happens, right? Well, now it's happening in the United States in a big way. And we're going over a story in USA Today that discusses this issue. The headline says, "What's behind the national surge in book bans?" It's a low-tech website tied to Moms for Liberty, this group called Moms for Liberty. And we were to the point in this story at USA Today where they are discussing how librarians and libraries decide which books are going to be on the shelves. And says here the librarian reads the book and asks the question, does the information or story succeed in meeting children in the designated age group or demographic where they are at? Books are not evaluated based on their topic or a list of do's and don'ts. That's in stark contrast to the Books Looks approach. Books Looks, in case you're just tuning in, is the website that the book banners go to get their information on why these books should be banned so they can file their objections to the books. The website, Books Looks Reviews, usually contain a lengthy list of excerpts from the book reproduced with no context for where they fit in the broader narrative of the story. Their aim is clear, Magnuson said, librarian, to paint a book as fixated with or defined by sex, profanity, and violence. Quote, it's very much about just short excerpts. It's not about evaluating the content of the book as a whole, Magnuson said. They are talking about all the bad words in it rather than thinking about the piece of literature. Some parents who use Book Looks acknowledge the site is useful as a way to shield their children and even themselves from certain ideas. And it says here that a mom running for a school board in Virginia, her last name is Walsh, mentioned earlier in the story, said she learned about book looks at a professional development summit this past spring geared toward conservative candidates. Excuse me. She said, when you talk to parents, they have no idea, said Walsh, who's also spoken out against mask mandates and critical race theory. She said, they don't know about the book. They don't know what's in the book. And honestly, they're afraid to read it. Book looks, she said, allows them to get a general idea of why people keep talking about the same books. She said, book looks is a great resource to learn about and look at a book without buying it, and she now promotes the site while campaigning. So it says here that these books are often focused on sexuality. In an email to USA Today, Makish, who runs that book looks website, said that the website does not focus on sexuality nor gender issues. They are not major factors at all, she said. But every one of book looks ratings mentions sexuality or sexual activities. The only way for a book to receive a rating of zero, which means there's no reason to ban it, from the website is for it to contain no references to sexuality, gender ideologies, or sexual activities, according to a definition on the website. At the other end of the scale, the only way a book receives a rating of 4 or 5 from Book Looks is for references to sex or sexuality. About 40% of the entries on Book Looks include concerns about alternate gender ideologies or alternate sexualities. According to a USA Today analysis of all the ratings on the site as of September, only 131 of the more than 630 titles that appear on Book Looks do not include sex or gender in their summary of concerns. Those titles including the 54 books Book Looks rated at zero. So this is something that we have to be aware of, something that we have to be on the lookout for. And it's another reason why we want to keep an eye on the school board meetings and the school boards in general. Many school boards around the nation, especially those in more conservative communities, are being taken over by activists who want to ban books. Is that going on in your community? It could be. Pay attention. I think we've run out of time for today. It's almost 9:58. I want to thank you for tuning in today. Hope you have a good day today. I hope you learned something and do something nice for someone today. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. La 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 la.
The most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The Alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people, no machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.